Am I on? Oh, there. Ooh, yes. Shocked myself. Let me just pray for the little ones as they go down below. Lord, thank you for these young people. We love them. They are gifts from you. We freely acknowledge that. Lord, we know we have a responsibility to teach them, bring them up in your word. And I pray this morning, Lord, that they would learn more of you, that they would hear your word, that they would hide your word in their hearts. And Lord, that scripture would never return void. Lord, we just hold them in the palms of our hands and ask for your blessing on them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I see a number of people who are here for the first time today, and I'd like to say greetings to you. But then I'd like to apologize to you at the same time. And I want to do that by telling a little story. Some 15 years ago, I was in business in Tokyo, and it happened to fall over a weekend. And so on Sunday, I really wanted to go to church. So I looked up in the Yellow Pages, or what I thought was sort of the Yellow Pages, it's hard to understand, and found First Baptist Church with an English service at 11 o'clock in the morning, and wrote down what I thought was the address. And I sort of got directions from the front desk, and they didn't really understand what a church was, but they thought it would be somewhere here. A couple of things you've got to understand about Tokyo. A, the language is obviously a foreign language. The characters of the words are completely different, and there are no such things as street addresses. I mean, there's sometimes street addresses, but the numbers on the streets, if there are street addresses, the numbers on the streets correspond to the time the building was built. So the first building is number one, the second building is number two. They could be 10 miles apart. So if you get to number one High Street, you are not likely to find number two High Street next to it. So anyway, with this, I headed out because I wanted to worship the Lord. And I got lost and eventually found someone who could speak English. They directed me to the place. It was a pouring rain. I was soaked. I arrived at the Baptist church about 11:30, but at least I got there. The place was packed. It felt wonderful. They were finishing the last song. I sat down ready for the word, and I will never forget these words. It was air-conditioned. I was freezing. I was soaked. And the pastor got up and he said, well, good morning. He said, I'd like to apologize to newcomers because today we're going to talk about the new building project. And they spent the rest of the next 30 minutes talking about the new building project. And, you know, I was so they have a wonderful building project, by the way, but I was so desirous of hearing the word, and it was so disappointing to me. So we're not going to share the word this morning. We're not going to open the word. That's why I want to apologize for you, to you ahead of time. We normally share the word, obviously, from the pulpit. That's something that we do and we take great pride and care over. But today, I think the elders thought it would be important that I'd spend a little time, a little extended time, talking about where we are as a church, Hope Christian Church. And I hope you'll bear with us because you'll learn a lot about the church as we go along. And you'll probably learn as much about the church as many people here know already about it. So I hope you will enjoy this as newcomers this morning. Why do we want to do this today? I think there's a whole variety of reasons. Obviously, we're beginning a new season of prayer for the church, and also a new time of preaching and teaching that I'm going to talk about. The elders are going to be preaching for the next 6 weeks, both about prayer and about the purpose of Hope Christian Church. And so it's a very important season that we're building at this new year. And I think, you know, the key to that as we build into this is your church, and you need to know what's going on with the church. And as we talk to people, and as you all talk to us, and you've been wonderful in giving us feedback and asking questions, it's very clear to us that different people have a very different understanding of the progress that we're making at the church. And so we thought it would be important to, given that so much is going on, is to bring everybody up to the same speed at the same time. Now, for some of you, you will say, I know all of this. I would be very surprised, actually, that all of you, or many of you, know all of the things that I'm going to say this morning. But many of you will say, I know all of this. Some of you will probably say, well, I really don't know very much of this. And we acknowledge up front that this talk this morning is going to have different values to different people. But I think the key is to get everyone on the same page. And we've decided as elders that if it takes a week of being in the pulpit to get everybody up to speed at the same time, that's well worth the investment that we're going to make. One thing before I start, so that's what we're going to do right now. One thing before I start, though, is I'd like to, you know, make an obvious statement that Hope Christian Church is a church. It's not a parachurch ministry. It's not a secular organization. It's not a business. And our three purposes are very clear. Number one, to glorify God. As we look at Ephesians chapter 5, we look very strongly at Christ as being the head of this church, but we are a church that's here to glorify God. Secondly, we're here to build up individuals and community. And we've been spending a lot of time in 1 Peter. Scott Shue and I have been teaching 1 Peter downstairs in the adult Sunday school, and one of the things that we've been focusing on in 1 Peter is how we're built up into a spiritual house together. And one of the things that we do as a church is to build each other up into a spiritual house. And the third thing, obviously, that we need to have is have an impact as a church for the kingdom. If you look in the book of Acts, and in about 3 weeks I'll be preaching from the book of Acts to look at the role and the activity of the first century church in the book of Acts in reaching out to people who did not know of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, church is not just about Sunday morning. It's not about the Sunday morning gathering, important as this is. So please don't take away from this that Andy doesn't think we need to come to church on Sunday morning. Absolutely not. Church is a Sunday morning gathering, and it's very important, but it's more than that. Colossians 1:24 tells us that church is Christ's body. It's the spiritual home that we've been called to as we spend our time here on earth. And as you go through scriptures, here are some of the things we're called to do when we belong to a church. We're called to build community. We're called to teach and admonish one another. We're called to share ourselves and our possessions with one another. We're called to bring our gifts and talents to bear. We're called to pray. We're called to have fellowship together. We're called to reach out to the lost, to share the Lord's Supper, and come to maturity in Christ together in the church. In fact, it's the only place that the Scripture tells us that we can come to a full maturity of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, is here together in a body of church. As you can see, as we begin to talk about those, and there are many other things, obviously, Scripture tells us about church too, but those were just a few. As you can listen to those things, it's very, very clear that church is a very complex organism. It's a very difficult organism that interacts in so many different levels. It operates very much as a family, which is very much why we often address ourselves and we talk about ourselves as the Hope family. As a family, over the last few months, we've had a relatively hard time. For those of you here for the first time, our teaching elder left us some months ago, and we're in a transition at this point. And clearly that was painful, having the Bandais leaving. Having other families leave over this period of time has been difficult. There's been uncertainty, I think inevitably some gossip. Accusations have been made one way or another, and that's part of a family working together and working through grief and working through a level of suffering. You know, as elders over this time, we've tried to communicate progress in what we've been doing, but frankly, in circumstances like this, we probably never communicate enough. It's one of the things I think you learn in leadership is that there's never enough communicating that takes place. And obviously, any time that there's not enough communication, then speculation fills the gaps. We've done our best to meet with you, to listen, and as I said earlier, we really want to thank you for the time that you've taken to give us feedback, talk to us, ask questions. It's really been very helpful for us in terms of driving us forward and letting us think about what issues we need to address and how we need to respond to your needs. I think you would not be surprised that we've come to a position where, as we listen to all the things that you've talked to us about, we can't satisfy every need that everybody has here. In fact, in some cases, some of the needs that people have and the suggestions that people make are diametrically opposed to each other. I think you'd expect that to be so. That's the nature of the family, I think. And I think as a part of a family, we need to compromise, not in doctrine, and we stand very solid on that, but in practice. We need to bear with each other. And in that way, we will grow together. And that's what we're called to do, is to grow together. God, we've talked about this before, and God has certainly called us to a time of stirring up. We've talked about that before. Others use the word pruning, and I think that's equally valid to what God is doing. In the Gospel of John, chapter 15, John tells us that the purpose of pruning is to make us even more fruitful. And that's a sense of what we've got going. But he only makes us more fruitful if we remain in him. And I think that's one of the keys for us, is to make sure that we remain in him during this period of time. And remaining in him is going to be one of the keys to our 40 days of prayer that Paul has just talked about. For many, this time of change causes anxiety. An obvious question is, what's happening to my church? Church is home. Church is family. Church is not just a place you go to at a particular time. It's not like your favorite restaurant has just changed its menu, or the local cinema has got a new set of movies to see, you know, and you wanted to see the one that was on last week and you just missed it. Church is very different from that. This is the place that God has called us to belong. So changes are inevitably things that cause us anxiety. And frankly, this anxiety is probably being exacerbated by the fact that we have talked a lot about seeking God's will for the church during this period of time. And I think that sometimes a couple of pieces of feedback we've got is, well, don't you sort of know where you're going? We've been doing this for long enough. Are we really just starting all over again? And I think one of the things I'd say is, we seek God's will for our church. It's not about starting all over again. It's asking God to build on what he's already brought here in this place. Let me say that collectively, we are seeking God's will for this church, for the church here at Hope. And my hope is we'll do that now, search for God's will for our church, and forever. I don't ever foresee a time when we're going to say, that's it. This is what God wants us to be. We're done. We've achieved everything that God wants us to achieve as a church. We'll never get to that place. We will always be searching. But this seeking is being done on top of what God has already built here. There's a great deal that he has established, that's known, that it's working. And that's really what I want to spend a few minutes now talking about and remind us of what hope is. And again, for some of you, I do want to apologize if there's repetition. You may have heard some of these things before. But I think it's important, again, that we start at the same place in our understanding of hope. So what is Hope Christian Church? And what, more importantly, has God established here? And I want to start firstly and go through some things very, very quickly. Firstly, we have a clearly defined mission, which remains the same. And the mission of Hope Christian Church is found on the front of your bulletin. It's been found on the front of your bulletin for the last 10, 11 years. To my knowledge, the words have never changed, and the message behind the words have not changed. And clearly, we talk about the three things that I talked about earlier: glorifying Christ, developing a community of committed disciples, and having impact for Christ locally and around the world. Those three things that we've talked about before. Ian is going to be spending much more time on this particular aspect in a couple of weeks as he talks about the purpose of Hope Christian Church. And we've talked about glorifying God by reaching up, building a committed community of disciples here as being the in, and then reaching out and having an impact for the rest of the world as being the out. And we'll be talking more about up, in, and out as we go forward in the next in 2 weeks' time. Secondly, we have a number of what we call core activities. Again, if you turn to your bulletin, you'll find those on the front of your bulletin. These are the six items that you'll see at the bottom of these slides. Those are teaching, fellowship, cultural impact, evangelism and missions, prayer, and worship. There are a myriad of things that we could have chosen as elders of Hope Christian Church over the many years to say, these are the things that we want to focus on. These are our core activities. But these are the ones that we selected over a number of years as being the things that we wanted Hope Christian Church to be known best for. These are the things that we want to major on. These are the areas that we wanted to make sure that we worked in excellence and have focus on. In 3 weeks' time, I'm going to be looking at the church, as I mentioned, the book of Acts. I'm going to go through the entire book of Acts. I will not be reading the entire book of Acts. That would take a little longer, but I'll be going through the church and the entire book of Acts and looking at what the church did and what was involved in during that first century. And you'll see it relates very much to these five principles. In fact, we're going to recommend condensing these six principles into five principles. Don't worry, it's not a change. It's just that we're consolidating and changing the name of a couple of these things, but to make that more understandable. One of the things that we believe is that Hope Christian Church needs to be excellent in each of these areas. And I think over time, one of the things that we felt is that we've emphasized some to the detriment of others. And so one of the things that we're seeking God's guidance for in this time of prayer is, as we think about the full range of these core activities, is how do we become more effective as a church in achieving the objectives and the goals of each of these core activities? Not so much what should we do, but how should we do it? And again, that's the kind of seeking that we're going to be doing in the 40 days of prayer, is to ask God, these are our core activities. What do you want us to be doing more of? How do you want us to be doing things differently? Even some of you might look at these and say, you know, I really want to spend more time in the evangelism area. How can I be helpful to Hope Christian Church in that particular area? These are the things that we're looking for God to provide us with, the leadership we're looking for Him to provide, another focus for our 40 days of prayer. So that's the first thing. We have the mission. The second thing, we have core activities. The third thing I want to say, just to talk about Hope Christian Church, which makes us actually a little different than most churches, is that we have an elder form of government. There's been a lot of discussion about this over the last 3 or 4 months, and what does that really mean? And let me try and describe this. It's a little unusual, and it's easily misunderstood, so let me just take a couple of minutes and describe it to you. We have what is known as a plurality of male elders. What on earth does that mean? Right now, we have 5 elders, all of whom are male, and that's what our bylaws calls for. And we are all equal. There is no first among equals. There's no leader of the eldership team. There is one person who gets to be called chairman. Dave Chamberlain likes to call him the parliamentarian, in other words, the person who calls the meetings and makes sure the agenda gets set and we finish roughly on time, although I'm the current chairman and I do a horrible job of that. But essentially, we're equal in what we do. We're responsible for the doctrine, for shepherding, for vision, for strategy, and for the organization of the church. In other words, all the high-level kind of thinking or organization, doctrinal shepherding of the church, that is our role and responsibility. Sometimes we're full-time. So Ray Bandy, for example, was a full-time elder of the church. Sometimes we're part-time. The rest of us at this point are part-time. But we're still equal. It doesn't make a difference in terms of our responsibility or our roles within the elder board. There's some clear positives about this plurality of elders approach to corporate or to church governance. The positives are, number one is the decision-making is made by a number of people, bringing in different activities and different experiences and just different backgrounds to bear in our decision-making. We model community. As you can imagine, if there are 5 who are equal and we have to make decisions together, and nobody has a leadership role or nobody can trump anybody else, you can imagine what that brings is that brings a great deal of discussion, of prayer, of compromise, and ultimately of agreement in the Holy Spirit. There have been times in the elder meeting where I've known 2, 3, or 4 of us have come in with one position, 2 or 3 or 4 have come in with a completely different position, and ultimately at the end of the meeting, God and the Holy Spirit have moved us together. And one of our favorite verses that we focus on is found in Acts 15, where at the Council of Jerusalem it said, "It seemed right to us and the Holy Spirit that." And we've said that many times in the elder group. As we come together and make a decision, we come to an agreement, and it seems right to us and the Holy Spirit to make the decision that we're going to make. Obviously, if you're one person, like a senior pastor, it's a lonely place. Where do you go for accountability? Where do you go for support, encouragement? When you have 5 of us, and obviously, ultimately, we'd like to have more than 5. There's nothing magic about the number 5. That's just the number that we have right now. But there's tremendous community and encouragement and accountability that takes place in that. Those are the strengths of the elder model. There are some negatives, however. And then one of the negatives is that most people don't understand the elder model. And most of us, I think, as human beings, always look for, well, who's the leader? Okay, well, I understand the 5 of you are equal, but who's really who's the power behind the throne, if you will? I mean, who's the one that really pulls the strings that if they say, well, A, then everybody's going to agree to A, even if 4 or 5 others said it was B? And we really don't have that, but the world looks at it that way and says, well, how does that work? And I think that also gets exacerbated, if you will, by the fact that historically one of our elders, the teaching elder, in this case Ray, would always be the one who was very visible because he's the one everybody would see every Sunday morning. And it became inevitable, I think, that there becomes a linkage between the teaching elder, who is equal with the other elders but happens to be a full-time elder, that becomes the pastor. And people look for that person to be the leader, whereas in fact in the reality, that person is one of five, or in that case six, equals. And therefore when you lose the teaching elder, it looks like you've lost the leadership of the church. If you lose a senior pastor, you've lost the leadership of the church. When you lose a teaching elder who's one of six, then you've got five out of six remaining. And that's what we have, five out of six remaining. In fact, in times of transition that we're in right now, the elder form of government is the most stable form of church government you could have. The five out of six elders are still here. We're still making decisions. Ian's had the ability to step into a more full-time role in the interim. We've continued to form the search committee. We'll talk more about this coming on. The shepherding continues. New programs and initiatives don't have to wait for the appointment of a pastor. The church doesn't have to go into a six-month or a year hiatus while we wait for the new leader, who then may come in with new ideas or new ways of running the church, which leads to even further uncertainty within the church. We have a tremendous sense of continuity because of elder form of leader. And in fact, when the new teaching pastor comes on board, and I'll talk more about this in a few minutes, he will become one of the team. Our goal, obviously, while we're looking to appoint a teaching pastor, our goal obviously will be within a 6 to 12 month period that that person would also become a member of the board of elders. And there's no way we would bring on a teaching pastor that wouldn't have the qualifications to be part of the member of the board of elders. And one of the keys that we're looking for is someone who wants to join what God is already doing here. And a key requirement for us is someone who will work well within a team environment. And that's one of the characteristics that we're looking for right now as for this new teaching pastor. So that's the elder form of government, and that's how that works. I want to say in addition to that, we have a significant ministry staff. Because we hire paid staff as we feel necessary and right for the church. When we were a small church with only a few people and we set up on a Sunday in a little rented space, either over at the First Baptist Church here or over at Lynch School, you know, we could preach from the front, we could do different things. When you've got a group of 20 or 30 people, you don't need a lot of paid staff. As you get bigger and more complex, we felt it was right to continue to invest in the ministry in terms of people. And ministry really has two investments. It's people and it's building. Those are really the two investments that you choose to make, the most important of which is the people. We have a philosophy here at Hope Christian Church, which is simply this. If you don't resource something adequately, then you're not going to do it well. The likelihood that good things happen when people are just spending bits of their time thinking about things and getting to it as volunteers when they can get to it tends not to work really well over a period of time. So if we think that something is important to be done well by Hope Christian Church, we're going to be looking to resource it so that it can be done well. So in the early years, for example, of the church, when we decided that the first thing that we wanted to focus on and do best and become a mark of our church was high-quality biblical teaching, we looked at ourselves and said, you know what, we can kind of do it ourselves, but we ought to go find a high-quality biblical teacher. And that's exactly what we did. So our first investment was in Ray and his family back some 13 years ago now to come in and to teach. And so that's a classic example of how we resource what we think is important and the things that we feel that we need to excel and do well at. As we stand right now, the elders of Hope Church think we need three pastors at Hope Christian Church. The first pastor is the teaching pastor. And I think that person obviously will be responsible primarily for teaching and discipleship. You've heard about the search committee that was formed some 3 months ago, David? 4 months ago? 4 months ago? Let me give you a little update on progress. David Chamberlain is the chairman. There are 8-9 members of the committee under David. 7 candidates are currently on the short list. We've asked those 7 candidates to fill in an absolutely exhaustive, I don't know how thick, but an exhaustive application form David was telling me this morning, we have four of those back already. Another one's supposed to be in the mail, and we hope to have another one by a Monday or something like that. So we should have five or six of these back within 2 or 3 days. Frankly, I think that's a significant hurdle for people to get over. We've had a number of candidates look at those things and say, I don't think I want to spend the next 3 weeks filling out the application form. Maybe I'll look somewhere else. It's a good hurdle for us for people to get over. But we will have five or six of these back very shortly. It's a high-quality list of people. Our goal would be for the search committee to bring to the elders a ranked list of, say, the top three or four candidates, you know, in their rank order, 1, 2, 3, 4, from the search committee, probably in a mid-February time frame. And we would hope that the front runner, we'd probably pick one of those, that the front runner would be with us in a mid-March time frame for a candidacy weekend. So this thing is moving along very, very quickly. We've had over 330 resumes in total. So we've had a wide variety of people to look through. And I know the search committee has been working diligently and meeting frequently. We're very excited about the possibility of who God will be bringing. This is, again, one of the things as we move to 40 days of prayer that we need to focus on, that God would bring the right man to this role. The second pastor, and we don't quite have the name right yet, we may have, we don't know, we're debating it, would be the second pastor would be, we call a community pastor. The community pastor basically will be responsible for building the church family and the outreach from the church family. If you remember, we had these six core activities that I talked about, which are going to be scrunched down to five core activities in the next 2 or 3 weeks. This person would probably be responsible for everything other than teaching and discipleship, although depending on the gifting and the experience of the teaching pastor who comes in, he may take one of those others as well. So there'll be some split between these two pastors taking on these five core activities. In addition, the likelihood is the community pastor will also be the administrative pastor. There's quite a lot of administrative work that needs to get done. The likelihood that you can get a teaching pastor who wants to spend a lot of his time on administration, or that you'd want to spend a lot of time on administration, you just don't want that to have happen. You want the teaching and discipleship pastor to be focusing on the things that he's passionate about and he's gifted in. And so the community pastor becomes very, very important to us in terms of building our body, building the ministries that we have here, and making Hope Christian Church more effective in these core activities that we've talked about. And that leads, obviously, to the obvious question, who? We don't have a search committee going for this, so who's going to be the community pastor? Well, Ian Whitfield has felt a strong call to full-time ministry over the course of the last, I would say, year, but certainly after Jenny's departure to be with the Lord, went on a long self-discernment process about personal discernment process about what the Lord was leading him to, has decided that he is not going to return to the business world and has decided that the Lord is calling him to full-time ministry. The elders of Hope have, again, over a relatively lengthy period of time, have confirmed our sense of his calling. And more than that, we also believe that the first years of Ian's ministry should be here at Hope Christian Church. It makes all the sense in the world. And that the community pastor would be an ideal role for Ian. Having said that, we still believe that Ian should go through the full candidacy process that any other candidate will go through. So this is not just a fait accompli that we're bringing to you all and saying, you know, go congratulate Ian because he's the new community pastor, but we believe that he should go through the same candidacy process that others do. And so in the next couple of months, we will be bringing Ian to you as a candidate and going through that process for community pastor, or whatever name we decide to call that. And so that you can confirm or otherwise your belief in the calling and the belief that the elders have that he's been called to this at this time. That obviously is another very important aspect for Hope Christian Church and another very important aspect of our 40 days of prayer. A real thing for prayer over this next 40 days is the calling of Ian as community pastor. In the meantime, I just want to say this as a personal note, I can't say enough about the job that Ian's doing in running the church day to day. Believe me, he's working long and hard hours here, and he deserves our thanks for that. The third pastor is the Genesis pastor, Michael Davis. And this will be Michael, and will continue in his role. Genesis being a major investment for those new here. Genesis is a 20-something ministry that takes place on a Sunday evening. Genesis has been a major investment that the Hope Church, Hope Christian Church, decided to invest in about 2 years ago. And we've been delighted at its growth, the number of 20 or somethings that have come to a saving knowledge of Christ through this ministry. And having said that, though, it's still very much a startup ministry. And we're still seeking God's will for how to develop it, how to grow it, whether it should stay one generational or become multi-generational. How does that whole thing roll out? How do we integrate Genesis with the main body of Hope Church? I mean, there's a lot of questions about Genesis as we go forward. And so that's another place that while we have the ministry, we're still seeking God's will for that ministry. And again, that will be another focus for the 40 days of prayer. Just from a staff point of view, in addition to the three pastors, we also have a wonderful and dedicated church secretary in Patty Fleming, who you all know, and Dave King obviously is leading our middle and high school ministries as he works for his degree up at Gordon-Conwell. Finally, I just want to talk a little bit about staff leadership, because all three pastors will be reporting directly into the Board of Elders. And so I think you can see if that takes place, you get this possibility of sort of siloing taking place, that the pastors don't talk to each other, and all of a sudden you get three different ministries all within the walls of Hope Christian Church, and how does that all work? And the answer is that doesn't work very well. So essentially what we need to do is build up a team within the staff themselves. And one of the things that we'll be doing will be selecting one of the pastors to coordinate the activities of the staff. So that you don't just have to have an elders meeting together to get the staff to come together. There'll be regular staff meetings. They'll be coordinating their activities, what they're doing, how they're leading the church forward, etc. We currently would expect that Ian would assume that role. But this responsibility could change in the future. I mean, it depends on the gifting and the desire of the different pastors. There are some that would want to do this. There are some that don't want to do this. And we don't have a particular place that we put that. It doesn't have to be the community pastor. It doesn't have to be the teaching pastor. It doesn't have to be the Genesis pastor or any other pastor that we would think about adding in the future. One of them, however, will be designated to be kind of the director or the coordinator of the activities of the staff. So that's the staff. We also have a significant ministry leadership team here. These are men and women who are responsible for the day-to-day running of particular ministries. You know them well. Current leaders are Bob Zickel, operations, Karen Vernamonte, who does fellowship and congregational care, Brian Battle, men's, Patty Fleming, women's, Michael Bradford, greeting and newcomers, Tom Einan, missions, Jenny DiMuzio for Christian education, and David King, youth. This level of leadership was created about 3 years ago, and we think is a very important level of leadership in response to reflecting Acts chapter 6, where the apostles of the church were being pulled too much into the distribution of food to the widows and orphans, and they were being taken away from their primary role, which was prayer and shepherding. And we found exactly the same within Hope Christian Church, that we as elders were doing too much of the day-to-day operating of the church, and we're getting away from shepherding and prayer, which is our primary responsibility. So we created this team of leaders, each to look after one of the aspects of ministry within the church. So to reduce the day-to-day responsibility of the elders, to add to the leadership capacity, to allow us to do more, to broaden the experience of these individuals and also to allow them to use their gifting and experience within the church, which is what biblically they're called to do, and also to identify and groom potential future elders. So these are areas in which these folks would work. These ministry leaders meet with us as elders on a very regular basis. They've been very instrumental to giving us feedback. They're a great sounding board for us. And they kind of have a sense of ownership of the church in the same way that the elders do. And I just want to say from the front, I'd like to thank them all for their commitment and sacrifice on behalf of the church. They spend a lot of time working on behalf of the church. And they also will be a focus of the 40 days of prayer. And finally, we're blessed within what we have here as you, for having you, the Hope family. And one of the clearest blessings to us as elders in the last few months has been you all. We look at you and we see men and women who want to abide in Christ and who want to grow closer to the Lord as they move forward. They're serious. You are all serious about your walk with the Lord. I mean, I have to tell you, this is a personal, just a personal aside, and you may or may not want to hear it, but I'm up front. I mean, the last few months, I think, for elders has been a tough few months, as you can imagine. And there are times where you just want to sort of say, ugh, and walk away from it. And for me, the abiding thought that Lord continues to bring me back to is to see your faces and to think of the wonderful people that we have here and the calling that I have to be help to help shepherd you and to help help you grow. And I know that's shared by all of the elders, is you have been inspiration in many ways over the course of these last few months, and I want to thank you for that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 also tells us, of course, that you have gifting and you have capabilities that the Lord wants you to bring to bear at the church. And it's with joy that I kind of remember the early days of Hope Church. A few of us will remember that when we used to be over at Lynch School, and every morning we used to have to set up all the chairs and everything, and we used to do it as a community and tear down at the end of that. And it's kind of fun for me now to see that the Genesis guy is getting ready and putting all the curtains up at the end of it. It's a sort of a new generation of Hope Church. It's exciting for me to see that. For those of you who are new, who would like to get involved with Hope Christian Church Ministries, please be in prayer over the last over the next 40 days about how you could be involved in this church. Again, it's not that Sunday morning experience. It's this place that we come together in family to help each other get to the place that God wants us to be. And for those of you who have giftings that you feel are not being used, we would like to talk to you about what it is that you would like to be doing in the church and how we can help you exercise those gifts that God has given you. But in the meantime, we'd like to say thank you. Thank you for your decisions to be here, and thank you for the encouragement that you've given us all as elders over this period of time. Obviously, to do all of this, and there's so much going on, we have to look to God to provide the financial resources. Let me turn to the budget for a minute. We don't spend a lot of time talking about this, but it's worth taking a few moments over. Historically, we've had two principles in the budget. Number one is that 20% of the budget, or a minimum of 20%, is normally being closer to 22% of the budget, goes straight off the top of the budget to missions. If you will, that's our first fruit. Right from the first day, we've delivered 20% plus of our money that comes into missions to support other people around the world. And as you know, we have, I think, 15, 16 missionaries now who are around the world, who are supported by Hope Christian Church. And it's just great excitement around that. I love our prayer time. It's a little weird for people coming to visit us for the first time when we all sort of stand up and disappear into groups around the room. But I tell you, those missionaries certainly appreciate what we do as a church and how we support and pray for them. So that's the first thing that we do. And I think, you know, where your treasure is, there also is your heart. And we have a heart for missions in this church. And I think it comes from those first decisions that our first fruit go to missions. Second principle that we have in our budgeting is we typically budget a small deficit every year, something like $30,000 to $40,000 deficit every year. And the reason we do that is because we've been a growing church. God has provided more families or provided individuals who wanted to make one-time contributions during the course of the year that have basically nearly every year, I think probably every year, have met the need that we have had. It allows us to expand our activities, hire more people, do new things and different things for the cause of the kingdom. In spite of having this great building and all the things that we've done over the years, we still we have a debt that is a little more than $100,000, which is really, for a church like this, is very little debt indeed. And we don't spend a lot of time talking about, you know, asking you to give. It's something that we leave between you and the Lord. And God has been very, very gracious in how he has supported us financially over these years. This year is a little different. The deficit, normally $30,000 to $40,000. This year, we're projecting a deficit of $90,000. The primary reason for this is, as you know, the loss of families who've been supporting the church in the last 6 months and a continued heavy investment in Genesis, which we believe is an important ministry from Hope Christian Church. But, just before I go on, I just said, let me be clear. As elders, we do not believe in deficit financing of the church. So we always budget the deficit because we know that it's going to be overcome by God's giving and his provision for us. And our way over time has been to pay down our debt. The original debt on this building, for example, was north of $1 million, and we try to pay back our debt as quickly as we can. So we're not in the business of deficit financing, but we were faced with very difficult options this year. Because as I said, there's only two real things that your budget goes to. It's either people or building. Well, you can't get rid of the building. Yeah, I mean, you can do no maintenance on the building, but you're gonna have to pay for that at some point. And when the roof's leaking, that's a problem. Or you're going to have to cut back on the investment we've made in Genesis, or you're going to have to cut back on people in terms of the pastor. In other words, let's hold off on hiring the teaching pastor for another year or something like that. We've made the decision that none of these was acceptable. In each case, cut to the core of what Hope Christian Church is and what we want to be. And therefore, we made the decision to trust God this year to bring that increase. We're beginning to see growth again in our community, I'm glad to say. And while we have rarely, if ever, preached on giving, I think Tom Einan once snuck a sermon on giving a number of years ago when the elders were away. We know that you understand the importance of supporting Hope as God would have you do. One of the commitments of the church is financial support of the church. This will also be, obviously, a big focus of our 40 days of prayer. One thing I will say, and you may be putting it together in your mind, which is, well, if we don't have enough money and we've got a bigger deficit, why are we going for three pastors instead of two pastors, and why are we adding Ian to the staff? It's a good question, and let me just face it this way. We believe that that should be a full-time position. We believe that it should be a full-time paid position. But Ian has very graciously said that until we can get to a place in the budget where we can afford it, that he will not take compensation for that particular role. So that just covers that question. Finally, a question we ask all the time at Hope Church is simply, is God at work here? I think we remember a sermon that Ray gave us a number of months ago that talked about, you know, are you following God? Is God at work within the church? And so I just want to spend a couple of minutes on that issue, because I think as elders, we have seen more of God's hand at work in these last few months than for some time in the future, some time in the past. And let me just give you a few of what we would call the God sightings that we've experienced here at Hope Christian Church in the last 2-3 months. Firstly, unanimity and spirit of the elder team. As I said a little earlier, it's not been an easy time for the elder team. We sometimes felt more like the enemy than the friends, but God has lifted us up individually and communally, and we have got great, the agreement that we have within our body has been very, very special to us. The elder meetings are a time of joy for each of us. God has spoken to men and women, many of you here, about the changes and about staying at Hope Christian Church, and in fact, in many cases, coming to us saying, I actually want to be more involved, not less involved as a result of this. God is bringing new families. We've got excellent candidates for the teaching pastor. The provision of Ian in his time as the interim full-time elder. Signs that we've had in answer to prayer and in healing that we've not seen before. Continued conversions and people coming to know Jesus Christ through Hope Christian Church. God maturing people in very specific instances through these tough times. Strong times of corporate prayer where God has really answered our prayers. And many that I haven't captured here. But let's continue to invite to God to work in and through us at Hope through prayer. So what's next? Well, I hope you've heard time and time again as I've been talking, the need for prayer, the need for prayer. This is an item of prayer. Not because we don't know what to do, but because we're doing something and we want God to fine-tune what we're doing, or we want him to bless what we're doing. We want him to bring the right teaching pastor. We want him to confirm Ian. We want him to bring financial resources, those kinds of things. That's the reason for the 40 days of prayer, the fulfilling hope. Prayer activity that we're going to be involved with. We need to approach the throne of grace with confidence for guidance, for unity, for God's power. And we are really looking forward to coming together as a community to pray over these 40 days. And let me just ask you, you know, would you please, as we go forward into this, not just have this on your to-do list if you get around to it, oh, 40 days of prayer, I missed 3, I'll try and catch up 4 on the 4th day. But as a member of Hope Christian Church, as part of God's family here, as part of Christ's body, to commit each day to a small time to pray for the church. We'll all be praying about the same thing. We'll be picking up a particular ministry or a particular activity within the church, a particular need the church has. And the idea of a couple of hundred people praying out to God each day for the same thing is really very exciting to us, and we think God will really honor that. So we're anticipating a very special time for the Hope family, and we know that God wants to answer our prayers that reflect His heart for Hope Christian Church. By way of kicking this off, next week Paul will be in the pulpit, and we'll kick off the special season called Recalling Hope. And in about 3 or 4 weeks down the road, I think I've got the list up here actually. Here's the list. So Paul, on Sunday the 20th, will be talking about kicking off that. February the 10th, Doug Simpson will be up here, and we'll be looking at the prayers of Moses during times of transition to help us see one of the great prayers and the kinds of prayers that he prayed. Paul will then close this season of 40 days. You can see on Sunday, February the 24th, with a time of celebration. And we will be featuring, at least the way we think about it right now, we'll be featuring testimonies from you as to what God had been saying to you individually or collectively over this period of time. Finally, not up on this list, but after the 40 days of prayer, a week or two after the 40 days of prayer, we need to get the date settled out. We'll hold a meeting here, maybe a Saturday morning or a Friday night or something like that, and we'll invite anybody who wants to come. And we'll pray a little bit, and then just to ask the question of you, what is it that you heard from God about Hope Christian Church in this 40 days? So that we can collectively hear what God has been saying, not just to the elders, not just to the team leaders, not just to the pastors, but to all of us here at Hope Christian Church that have been diligently praying on behalf of this church. Second thing that will be happening is we'll be having the elders' retreat on the 25th and 26th of January. We'll again be asking you to pray for that. This is a time that the elders just go away and spend time listening to God for nearly 2 days. It's been a very important time for us in the past. We anticipate it again to be important. We spend a lot of time in listening, a lot of time in silence. We don't take agendas with us. We don't take lots of things that we have to do. We take ourselves. We take our scripture. We take some songs to sing and Ian's guitar. And we'll be asking for special prayer, and we anticipate that God will speak to us clearly during that time. And our likelihood from that is we'll come back and report to you back, probably a couple of weeks. It takes us a couple of weeks to process, but we'll come back and report to you what it was that we felt the Lord said to us during that time, and there's normally some action items that fall out of that. Thirdly, we're going to have a teaching series on what we call the purpose of hope. In other words, what's the purpose of the church? What is our purpose for being part of that church? And these are intertwined, if you will, with the prayer sermons that you see on the overhead here. So Ian Whitfield, after Paul kicks off prayer on the 20th, Ian will come up and preach on the 27th, and he'll look at the mission and the purpose of Hope Christian Church, the up, in, and the out that we've been talking about, the biblical mandate that we have for that. Sunday, February the 3rd, I will come up and talk about the book of Acts and look at the church and the core activities of the church from the book of Acts. And then Ian will come back on February the 17th and basically come back with a sermon that talks about, so what does all this mean for you as individual members of Hope Christian Church? If I am a member or a participant of Hope Christian Church, what does this mean for me? And how can I be supportive and helpful going forward? So I've said a lot here this morning. Let me just conclude by saying the following things. Over the course, let me say one thing first. We as elders, and I can stand here very clearly and say this, we're very excited about what God is doing at the church. There are a lot of things that are moving forward in the church. There's a lot of people in place, a lot of ways that God is leading us that we find very, very exciting. And we see His hand increasingly upon us. Over the course of the next 6 weeks, we hope that we will spend 40 days in concentrated prayer as a community together. We believe that we will discern God's will as we fine-tune and refocus our individual and communal activities as a church, clarify for you the purpose and the philosophy of Hope Christian Church so you know exactly why you're here and why we're here and what we're trying to get done, and begin to ask you to think about your ongoing role at Hope Christian Church. Hope Christian Church is Christ's body here in Winchester, Massachusetts. It's also here in the United States and the world through our missions activity in accord with Acts 1:8. We believe strongly that Hope Christian Church was specially created by God for His strong purposes. And our prayer is that we would be found worthy of our calling. Let me just pray for us. Father, I just thank You that this is Your church. Unless You build the house, the laborer builds in vain. And Lord, You have created so much here over the years. So many people have gone forward from this place as missionaries, as going to new and different communities to take the hope experience with them. I thank You, Lord, for how people's lives have been changed, how people have been discipled, how people's relationships with You are deeper and more abiding because of this place that You have created. I thank You for the men and women that are here. I thank You for their love for You, for their desire to walk in their lives the way You would have them walk, and desire to go deeper, a desire to be everything that You have planned for them to be. Lord, we look forward to the day that You would say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And Lord, in these coming days, these days of prayer, these days of discernment, we ask You to speak powerfully to us. Clarify the things that You want us to focus on. Show us the things that we can let slip away. Speak to people's hearts as to the things that they should be involved with and they can be doing. Strengthen us. Provide Your power, the resurrected power of Christ in this place, that we in fact can glorify You by creating a community of committed disciples that has an impact here and around the world. We thank You for this place. We thank You for these people. We thank You for Your church. We thank You that You are the head of this and that You are guiding us and leading us for Your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.